A reading from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he is also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Jenny Harding, and I represent a charity called Safe Families for Children. Now, we have a PowerPoint, and it's dependent on me remembering to say, oh, can we have the next slide? So if I'm out of kilter at all, forgive me. Right, perhaps we could have the first slide, as I'm already out of kilter. What a beautiful building you have here. It's just lovely. I come from an independent church background, and we have lovely church buildings. We don't, but you know, this is a beautiful, beautiful building. And I love the passage that Nikki just read to us, because it talks about the church and it talks about family. You know, church is meant to be a family, isn't it? We talk about God as our Father. If we're feeling particularly, we might even refer to each other. The household of faith. We're meant to be a family. And within that family, we all have part to play, don't we? That's what was just read, talked about, that each of us has gifts and we have a part to play. Part make a massive difference, both within the church and, I believe, outside of the church. If you were to know how in rock the name of the town is written down, you'd find two things written through me, and one is family and the other is church. I'm a mum, I've got four grown-up children, and I've got seven grandchildren, and I'd like to have some more. And I am passionate about family. I'm also passionate about church and the difference church, when it's working well, can make, not only to the lives of the people within the community of the church, but the lives of the community outside of the church who don't yet know that they're loved by Father God. Just to be honest about this, in a previous life, I am a pastor's wife as well. In fact, my husband and I only handed the church over less than a year ago. And as part of my role within the church, I used to run all the family stuff. I'd run the marriage courses, divorce recovery courses, parenting courses. I'd sit down with couples who were struggling, all that sort of stuff. And I also used to go into local schools to run parenting courses. So I get family and I get the challenges that family have. When I was a young mum, it was before my husband was a pastor, and we had four children. When I produced baby number four, the oldest girl was only five. And he, my husband, was, because of the nature of his work, he was away several nights a week. And life was hard. Yeah, I loved it, but you know what parenting young children is like? It's relentless, isn't it? You know, and but it was okay, because although it was hard, I was part of a group like you. And we helped each other. You know, we babysat for each other. We looked after each other's children. We cooked meals for each other when we were struggling. If Nick and I were struggling financially, they'd help us out financially. It was brilliant. But even so, there were days, if I'm honest, when I got a bit shouty with the kids, not proud of it, but I'm just being honest, or I cried because I was just exhausted. Contrast that with a story that I heard recently. If I could have the next one and the next slide up, please. That's right. It was just before Christmas 2014, and I was sat at a social event in the church I'm part of, and the guy I was sat next to is a deputy head of a school in quite a deprived part of Liverpool. And I said, "You're looking glum, what's wrong?" And he said, "Oh, I'm quite concerned about one of my families." I said, "Oh, what's happening?" Now, to this day, I don't know their names. I only know this little bit of the story completely anonymously. But what had happened was they had five children, and mum and dad were together, great, but they were struggling and life was quite fragile. They were both on benefits and it was difficult. And unfortunately, dad, probably to supplement their income, got involved in low level of crime. And just a few weeks before, that evening when my friend was talking to me, he'd been in court and he'd got sent down to prison for 18 months. 2 weeks later, she had baby number six. And what was a fragile situation started to unravel. She stopped getting up in the morning, she didn't get the kids to school, and when she did get in school, they were dirty, they were hungry, and they were poorly dressed. And my friend's comment to me was, "Those children will be in care soon." And I felt two reactions at the same time. My first reaction as a mum was to feel heartbroken for that mum. I do not condemn her. You know, I understand that. You know, if I had six more children and suddenly my husband wasn't there and I didn't have enough money and I didn't have anybody to help, I wouldn't get up in the morning. My other reaction was total frustration, because everything in me thought, where's the church? Why can't the church support that family? If she hasn't got a wider family to help her, why can't the church get alongside her? But I knew that if I asked one family from the church I'm part of to get involved, they'd be overwhelmed, because this woman's needs were complex and multiple. I just thought, oh my goodness, how can we do this? I genuinely believe that the hope for our city is found in the church. I believe we can make a difference, but how? I just felt so frustrated. It was one of those God times. You know, a few days later, my husband forwarded to me a job spec for a job with this charity I'd never heard of, Safe Families for Children. And after I got over the shock, because I didn't know I was looking for a job, I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll go for it. And to my amazement, I got it, and I'm now the community volunteer manager. Do you know, in our nation, there are 93,000 children in care. Could I have the next one? Of those 93,000, the fact is that their early experiences within childhood set their lives on a course. They are twice as likely to fall out of the education system, to be excluded. In our young offenders institutions, 60% of the young men in young offenders institutions have come through the care system. You know, if we could go on, the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. You can see I'm not very good at this, am I? If you've probably all got a phone, and in your phone you've got a contacts list, and if things go wrong in your family, like me, you've probably got people on that contacts list that you can ring. But an awful lot of families don't have anybody they can ring. So imagine you're a young mum, if you're a lady here, obviously a bit tricky if you're a man, you're a young mum and you've got a hospital appointment and you haven't got anyone to look after the kids. What do you do? Or you're a young dad. There's a story on our website of one young dad whose wife died of breast cancer, leaving him with four small children. What he didn't admit was he couldn't read and write. Who does he turn to? What's he going to do if he hasn't got anybody on the contacts list? If I could have the next one. The heart of Safe Families is to stabilise families who are in crisis. It's to prevent child neglect and abuse, and it's to drastically reduce the numbers of children going into care. That's what we want to do. The next one. Desmond Tutu said, there comes a point where we need to stop pulling people out of the river. We need to jump in the river and find out. Go upstream a bit and find out why they're falling in the first place. You see, when an 18-year-old man comes out of a young offenders institution, having only known a background of being in and out of care, it is very hard for his life to be turned around. What say there was an intervention made when he was two or three, when things started to unravel, not to help those children and that family fall apart, but to help that family thrive? Maybe life might have turned out differently for them. I can the next slide. So often social workers say, if only somebody could have been there for them. Next bit. Do you know, we, the church, are called to be there for people whose lives are in crisis. You know, Nick and I have had times when our lives have been in crisis. When my kids were teenagers, I had a serious car accident and one of my daughter's spine was broken. I tell you, the church carried us, absolutely carried us, while we coped with that trauma. She and I had long time in hospital. She then had to wear a brace. I don't know how we would have survived. My family at the time lived on the other side of the country. If I had not been part of the church, I don't know how we would have managed. If I could have the next slide. You know, our holy writings, they say things like, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Hospitality to strangers. When I first read that, I thought, hospitality, doesn't that just mean having your mates round for a meal? I'm good at that. And when I heard this speaker say, no, it actually means you invite strangers in, I thought, I don't think he's right. And when we got home, I said to my husband, who is a clever bloke, I said, would you please go and check the Greek for that, because I think he's got it wrong. But actually, he hadn't. Christian hospitality means being hospitable to people you don't know. Next slide, please. Mother Teresa said, the problem with the world is that we draw our family circle too small. You know, our scriptures say again, if I could have the next slide, I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, Jesus said, and you welcomed me in. And you remember in the parable, they said, well, when did we? When you welcomed in somebody into your home who you didn't know. That was when you welcomed him in. Next slide. But the trouble is, often we think it's too costly, it's too dangerous, it's too time consuming. And so we think, well, I won't do that, or maybe I'll think about it next week. And that's exactly where I was Christmas 2014, if I'm honest. But when I looked into Safe Families, I thought, actually, there is a way we can do this. Next slide, please. Because Safe Families will train you, equip you, and support you to offer three different ways of helping. The first is to host children. Just often for a few nights, the maximum you can host children is for 14 nights, otherwise we get a fostering law. And we're not foster parents. We don't want to be substitute families, we want to be supplementary families. You might say, well, I couldn't do that. That wouldn't fit my family at the moment. Maybe you could become a befriender. Maybe you could offer every now and then a couple of hours to a mum or a dad or a family that is really struggling. Maybe you could just come alongside. We have got nearly 300 volunteers trained across the Mersey region to do this. Most of them are only giving at the maximum 2 hours a week. They may be taking an isolated mum along to Mums and Tots with them because her self-esteem is so low she doesn't dare go out, let alone go to a Mums and Tots where she doesn't know anybody. Maybe you could take somebody to hospital when they need it. Maybe you could take the children to the park when you're taking your kids to the park. There's so many different ways we can be a family friend. Maybe you can't do that, but you could be a resource friend. Then you just sit on our database, and when we post something, say, oh, we need a double buggy for a man that's struggling, you think, oh, I've got a double buggy up in the loft. I could get that, clean it off. You could have that. If I could have the next slide. This is the way it works. A referred family comes into us. Maybe it's a single mum with a baby. Maybe it's more. We work out what they need. Maybe they need one or two family friends. There's one family on the Wirral at the moment who's got six friends working with them. And that's fine. That means every volunteer is only doing a little bit. It's not killing them all. And they're working as a team. Wonderful. Maybe the children need hosting. Just to give mum a break. Do you think? Maybe she just needs some stuff to help her thrive. That's how it works. Right. Vimeo clip, and then I'm nearly finished.
When Safe Families for Children came to our church to recruit volunteers, I immediately thought, well, I've got two kids and I work, so I can't do that. And my friend sat beside me has three kids and works more hours than I do, and she signed up, and I thought, oh, maybe I could do that. Once we got trained, we got a phone call then saying, could you take two children? And they'll be here within the office. When the children came, we had no idea what stuff they would have with them. We had a nine-year-old boy come and stay with us, and he came with a toothbrush. That was all he had. When the nine-year-old and 15-month-old arrived, I was really nervous to see how they would settle in. And the nine-year-old immediately ran into the living room and started playing with the balloon with my children. We could hear peals of laughter almost immediately. We didn't know how our kids would react to having children in the house, especially for a prolonged period that they didn't know. And it just couldn't have gone any better. When the nine-year-old boy came, he seemed to be doing really well, and it was only when he'd been here over a week that he cried for the first time. After a good chat, he was back to his normal self. But it was a good reminder to us that things might seem okay on the outside, but these children are going through a lot, and being there for them is really important. When these kids came to stay with us, it was really unsure and unknown where they would go, and it was something social workers and Safe Families for Children were working on. And as time went on, the baby's dad was really keen to have them, and he got to go home to be with his dad. But we were told that the older boy would most probably be going into foster care. But having that extra support from Safe Families for Children allowed a relative to step forward and say that she would be really happy to take him, given that support. So both the kids avoided foster care. If no one from Safe Families for Children was looking after those kids for that week and a half, then the social worker would have had to put them into foster care. The social worker came here one day and she burst into tears as soon as she got through the door, because she said it was her best working day of her career, that she was able to see two siblings who were kept together, that they would end up with family instead of going into the system. She was just so pleased that Safe Families for Children had enabled that to happen.
Join us in helping families in a time of crisis. Ask about becoming a Safe Families volunteer today.
Could I have the next slide, please? I'll be standing at the back by my banner, and I hope that some of you will step forward to volunteer. There's a 7-stage process to volunteering. You fill in an application form. We make an online DBS, enhanced DBS for you. We take up references for you. You attend a training session, which is usually three and a half hours long. And somebody like me, or maybe me, comes to your house and has a chat with you, and you can ask all your questions as well. And then you just sign up. Could I have the next slide, please? To one or other, or all, if you want, of the roles you can play. And the next slide, when we get you through the application process, then you just sit on the database. And you might sit on the database for 6 months before you hear anything from us, until there's a family in your area that needs a little bit of help. And then you'll just get a phone call from us to say, are you available to help at this time? If you're not available at that time, you just say no. If you are, then we match you up with the family that's in a crisis. Thank you so much for listening to me. And as I say, at the end, I'll be at the back. And I hope some of you, I hope lots of you, come and take application forms. Thank you very much. Thank you.